Welcome to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen and Yana Shanaeus. This is our initial reaction to Fulham's 0-0 draw with Newcastle United at St. James's Park. This is a very big change for Fulham as they actually got a clean sheet and they come away with a point. We're just going to share our reaction to it right now as the match ended about 15 minutes ago. First, I'm going to go to Mr. Janaeus. Yanis, thoughts on the draw here and the clean sheet for Fulham?
Very pleasing. You know, we didn't concede against West Ham second half last week. And he's tinkered with the lineup, as he does, good old Tinky. And I thought today, really, we looked untroubled. And I think that the biggest statistic for me is the fact that Newcastle had 90-odd minutes and didn't have one shot on target. So,
that's right.
You'll never lose a game where you don't concede any goals. And, of course, you couldn't mathematically never lose a game where you don't the opposition doesn't have any shots in that, unless, of course, you're daft enough to score an own goal from 40 yards out. But that was, I mean, it was an excellent point. And near the end,
we're going to talk about that.
Boo-boo. But overall, very pleasing result and a very disciplined performance.
And that's going to lead me to go right back to you. And then I want Max's initial reaction. I said this to both of you, that this reminded me just of how Fulham played the resolute defending, like a Roy Hodgson performance. I know the formation's different, but that's what this reminded me of. They looked like a drilled team for once. They looked like a team that could actually defend, Yanis.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been a little bored of fans on social media talking about, oh, can we get Slavisa back? And as much as, you know, we all love Slavisa, and I'll never have a bad word to say against him, the fact is that we just, you know, for a number of games, we were so ill-disciplined at the back. We were, you know, really leaky. And if you want any proof of what Ranieri can do today's game, you should, you know, I'm going to watch it again. Yeah, it was some, you know, there were players that looked, had better games today than I've seen in a long time because the positional shape was good, discipline was good. At times we gave away the ball a little bit cheaply, but then, you know what?
Compared to Newcastle United, Yanis.
Yeah. It's a long journey up to the northeast, and you know, and we have a decent record up there. I actually thought we'd get something there today, and I'm pleased with the draw. 0-0 is something that Claudio will take every day of the week.
Yep.
Now we've got Wolves and Huddersfield coming up. They're both very winnable games, and you know what? I'm beginning to see a little bit of light. But if we have to keep that shape. If we can keep that shape, be very difficult to break down, and onwards and upwards.
Absolutely, Yanis. And I find this very encouraging. I really do, because like you said, if they can do this now on the road, if they can be that resolute, especially away from Craven Cottage, I think that's a very positive sign, especially when we're going to be going to some difficult places the second half of the season. And they're going to have to be resolute. And this actually showed me a great deal. The players can do it. Of course, listen, we could talk about the change of formation, having three center backs and obviously having that extra defender, but still, they all had to do their jobs and they did. So I want to commend Claudio and the players for a job well done. Obviously, I wanted all 3 points, but this to me was a huge improvement. Max, your initial reaction.
7 months, almost 7 months today since Fulham's last meaningful clean sheet in the playoff final. And we finally got one, you know, this afternoon.
Oh, we were there.
We were the 1-0 over Villa and then the 0-0 over Newcastle. Could not be more different circumstances. But Russ, I don't know. I feel elated because it's such an odd feeling. Yes, you know, I think a win would have been, of course, ideal. But this is not just for the points; it's for the psychological boost. This team for 90 minutes didn't let in a goal. Something we hadn't done in so long, and it's just. Once you get that first clean sheet, shut up all the critics, I think, in a way, because it stops being talked about in the media. They now have to stop bringing up every single point. Oh, for the only team in the four tiers of English football not to keep a clean sheet. All that talk, all that negativity is gone.
Ball gone.
Two winnable home matches, as Yanis mentioned. Wolves, Huddersfield.
I watched Wolves. They're there for the taking. I don't care what anyone tells me. I watched that match.
Without a doubt. And Huddersfield just lost 3-1 to Southampton at home. These are teams. We're not in amazing form. There are teams who we can beat. And once we have that defense on our side, I'm confident. And today wasn't pretty. For large stretches of the match, it was dire. I was watching with a friend of mine who's a Newcastle supporter. We said, this looks like a championship match. It was not necessarily Premier League quality, but it doesn't matter because
it doesn't matter.
That was a point, and we could have even won it, but it's all about moving on and starting that festive period on the right note. And the fact that we have a clean sheet, the fact that we showed we can defend for an entire match, not just in short periods, that's giving me confidence, you know, for the next half of the season.
Right.
Yep.
I hear you, my friend, but I want to go back to both of you, and then we're going to talk about a couple of controversial moments. Giannis, as we are, we're talking about how well they defended, but they struggled when they had the ball against Newcastle United. And I'm just going to throw this out there. This is a polarizing player, but it seemed to change a little bit when Abubakar Kamara came on because I think that he offered some pace that unfortunately Andre Schürrle does not have. So was it a lack of pace that caused us so many problems going forward, or were there other issues that Fulham had? I'm curious your view on that.
Well,
miss Ryan Sessegnon too? Would it have been maybe different if Ryan Sessegnon was available?
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, I still think that we didn't create enough really through the middle. But the thing with Bubu is that he's just a brute. I mean, he came on within a few minutes, he gets a yellow, you know, and that's him. It's all or nothing. But he's big, he's strong, and I think his speed is underestimated.
And disappointed, I'll just say that. That'd be a good
one. And remember last week, I mean, you know, lest we forget, he had the breakaway that could have put us one up against West Ham. But he barges through players and he gives a different dimension that we seem to be missing. I thought Mitro today was magnificent. I think he held the line superbly and really, really got the sort of support that he needed. And I thought there were a few calls that were really questionable. That the handball claim.
And we're going to talk about that.
In
a couple of minutes, you know, because that's how I want to finish up. I want to talk about the controversial moments.
He needed help. Bubu gives a different dimension, and he is polarizing.
Yes,
but I like the fact is he's all effort, and again I think he sort of created that chance lay out of nothing. Yeah. And he just bars through the middle. Cloudy's going to have to look at this, especially when it comes to the transfer window, because I definitely think Mitro needs some support. There needs to be a diversion that we don't really have, or maybe Ranieri doesn't really trust. But we didn't really, you're right. We coming forward, no.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great at all. I want to give Newcastle credit, but it was very difficult for them to move the ball forward.
But I am going to be curious to see what, you know, Ryan O'Donovan from Football London gives the ratings. I'd be really curious to see his ratings for this game because I thought many of the players had better games today. I just thought that...
Yeah, I agree with you.
But then we'll see, you know, even Seri. I thought Seri worked very hard, didn't often lose the ball, passing was fairly accurate, did his job out there. And I think that, I think this was a big game for him. He seemed to settle down a bit. And I thought that was good.
Okay. Well, Giannis, while I have you and Max, I'm going to go to you in 1 second. I'm just going to read these off to you. This is actually from Scott Trotter. He was actually covering the match for football.london. Okay. Here are his ratings. I'm just going to read the ratings. He gave Rico a 6, Adoy a 7, Alfie Mawson a 7, Cyrus Christie a 5, Joe Bryan got a 6, Callum Chambers got a 5, Jean-Michel Seri got a 6, Kearney got a 5, Schürrle got a 3, Mitrovic got a 4, and then he gave Kamara a 6 and Ayite a 5. I got to be honest with you, I think those are kind of low, Giannis.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, Schürrle did a better job of tracking back. I thought Christie caused them some problems in the first half. I'm sort of bewildered about the Mitro thing. Because Mitro,
I thought he didn't get a lot.
Yeah, he did, and he didn't get a lot of help from the ref either. And there were a couple of calls where I just going, "What are you doing, ref?"
Right.
I think they're a little bit low. I thought Brian had a decent game actually.
I did too. That's why I didn't understand that rating, but I didn't read and materials underneath it. So
did he give it five to Chambers, Russ?
Chambers, I'm just going to go back and I'm just going to take a look very quick. Joe Bryan got a 6, just so he said, and Callum Chambers got a 5. This is what Scott Trotter wrote. Perhaps not present enough during the 90 minutes, but provided some class in the middle of the park to make interceptions that built up play. Quiet performance in the second period. That was about Callum Chambers.
His job was really to be the foil, and I thought he did a very good job, especially second half. Very calm. I don't know. Yeah. We're not all going to agree with everybody.
I know.
I don't give him the Ayite a 0.5. But,
I know how you feel about Ayite. Let me go to Max, because we are limited for time here. Max, your thoughts about Fulham going forward, our conversation about that, if you want to share anything about the ratings from football.london from Scott Trotter that I just read out, please feel free to as well.
Yeah, you know, it was tough for us because when you're playing, you know, five at the back with not your wing back, they're not really any real attacking wingers. There's no support. So for times in the first half and for much of the second half, we didn't have anything going forward. Mitro was isolated, and Shirley was terrible. I think I'm going to say it again. I don't want him to start another match in a Fulham shirt. I can't name one thing he did today other than give the ball away and not track back. And it's why it was mind-boggling for me why Kamara didn't start. This is the perfect match for a player like Kamara.
Well, you and I were talking about that off air.
Yeah, for sure. Granted, I he has a lot of issues with his finishing and his composure in situations. I'll accept that. But what he does do is offer you an outlet. He offers pace and power, and he offers counterattacking play. Whereas Shirley has none of those things, and is just a passenger. So it was mind-boggling for me why you would start Shirley, who I think had another anonymous match. It really summed up his Fulham career so far. And Kamara, that run at the end, you saw him make that chance out of nowhere. No other player in Fulham can make that happen out of nothing.
We saw something like that in the championship final, Max.
Without a doubt. And he shows it in these occasions when he's ahead of steam in front of him, he can take players on and no one can stop him. And if you want to talk about his composure, I know people have knocked him for that in the past. When he rounded Dubravka today, that led to the Mitrovic penalty, which we're going to talk about, penalty appeal. He didn't just blaze it over. He didn't just selfishly try to shoot from an angle where there is no angle. He passed the ball back calmly to Mitrovic, then had a great opportunity. So you can call me a Kamara apologist. You know, I'll accept that. I love the guy, but at some point you have to think that he's one of our best attacking threats, and he's not really worthy of the criticism some people level at him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough on Kamara. Giannis, weighed in. Just real quick on you, and then we're going to talk about the two controversial moments to end full time. Did we miss Ryan Sessegnon? Could he have offered something, especially going forward?
Yeah, I think without a doubt. You know, he in those positions when it's tight in the box, you don't get many chances. Sessegnon has shown in the past that he can take the opportunities. And I really think if that cutback had maybe been to Sessegnon instead of Mitrovic, maybe it's an unpopular opinion, but I think Sessegnon has a bit more composure in the situation. Yeah. So I think Mitrovic just tried to hit it as hard as he could.
Yeah, he did.
To be honest, even if that doesn't hit Lascelles, Dubravka has that saved. I think Sessegnon might have done something a little bit cheeky. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But the point is, hopefully he'll be back for the Wolves match.
Yep.
And we really have to hope so. Because remember last season in the Wolves match, he got that opening goal.
He did.
That lovely anticipation of the rebound, just ghosted in. And that's not something we've seen from him this season, is the anticipation and the lethalness we saw in the championship. Maybe, you know, another match home against Wolves could be the perfect impetus from the kick on.
I hope he's okay and ready to go, but we shall see. I think that we missed him somewhat, and that's why we wanted to bring up Ryan Sessegnon. Okay, guys, we have two controversial moments that will end full time. Max, to you first, and then I'll go to Giannis. Let's do these individually quickly. Let's talk about in the 77th minute. Should this have been a penalty on Joe Bryan in the box? The announcer we were listening to that on the broadcast said it was. I've watched it back a few times. It didn't look like it to me. It actually looked like the player was going down and was trying to go down. And I didn't see it as a penalty. First to you, Max. Was this a penalty?
I'm with you. That's not a penalty. If anything, it would be very soft if that was given. And Kennedy, I think, you're right. He's actually pushing Bryan, leaving Bryan to kind of lose balance and just kind of like...
That's what it looked like to me. I could be wrong.
I don't think it was a pull by Bryan more than anything. It was a push by Kennedy. And we see so many instances of that in the box for strikers and defenders tussle. And those are rarely given because it's just six of one, half a dozen of the other, you know. It's just always tough to see who's actually doing the pushing / the tugging. So that's a really good no call, in my opinion.
Okay. Listen, Anyone that listens to the show will know that if I think it's a penalty, whether it's Fulham or not, I'm going to tell you so. I just didn't think this was the case. Giannis, how about you? Do you agree or disagree with us on the situation with Joe Bryant?
I don't think it was a penalty, but I've seen it. I've seen those given.
Okay.
It just takes a flag-happy linesman. I'd have been annoyed had he given it, but I...
Let me ask you, did you see what I saw, or am I not watching it correctly?
Yeah, I did. It's just the ease of which he went down just got me worried that maybe that would have been given. That's why I said it. I think I've seen those given before. That I think they're soft penalties, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think
my point is that he was looking for the penalty. He was trying to get the penalty.
He was looking for the penalty for sure. Yeah. For
okay.
Sure.
All right. Let's end with talking about the situation at the end of the match with Lascelles. Giannis, to you first. Should this have been a penalty awarded to Fulham on Mitro's shot?
Absolutely. Absolutely clear cut. And I think he's – I hope this isn't the case, but I think I think that was an even-up call. I think he said – he might – Atkinson might
have second-guessed. That's a good point.
Yeah, he second-guessed.
It's a good NHL situation there, Giannis.
NHL situation, yeah. Yeah, to me, the way that all the players went up – and you saw from the replay, oh, no, but then is it an even-up call? I mean, it's
yep.
He'd be right. If you have VAR, if you have the use of VAR, it's about getting the decision right.
Yep.
And I think that's what it was. I think ordinarily that would be a penalty. I think he's given an even-up call.
Okay.
And at that point, you're thinking, well, it's going to finish 0-0. This is these two teams will be around till the new year. No one's going to score. But having said that, I thought Boo Boo made a difference when he came on, and we seem to have a bit more spark coming forward.
Right.
The ref, hey, I mean, I've said it before, he'd be a ref.
Yeah. So. Listen, it's very interesting because all I want from a ref is to call both ways, and Giannis, I think maybe this is his way of calling it both ways. He didn't give it to them, so he wasn't going to give it to Fulham. But this, to me, was more clear cut than the situation with Joe Bryan. That's just my thoughts. How about you, Max? Are we wrong here?
No, I agree with you. I think the key thing for this penalty appeal for me is that the arm is used to block the ball. Sometimes
right.
It hits a player's arm, clearly, but it's in a natural position, right? That's the jargon I think the analysts and referees use. This was, I think it was clear that he turned and he stuck out his elbow. It wasn't just there. He actually tucks in his hand to his body. The elbow juts out. And the ball hits the elbow. That's a handball. I'm sorry. And if we have VAR, but the thing is, it's tough to say because the referee saw that, right? And I think for VAR, I'm not entirely sure the exact reasoning, but I think the referee doesn't have to see it. It has to be called if the referee doesn't see it. So if the referee got a clean view of that and then said no, I don't even know if VAR can step in there because the referee has a view. That being said, I think it should have been a penalty. And imagine that. We get a penalty in the, 93rd minute, 92nd minute. Abubakar Kamara, who scored at Old Trafford a couple weeks ago, steps up, takes it. And we're having a very different podcast right now. But, that's the luck of football. But
it is.
We already got enough luck today, guys. We got a clean sheet.
I'm just going to say
this.
That's
one in a million. We used up all our luck for this week. We can do it.
Well, just to finish up full time, because we'll go into more detail on the post-match show, which we'll be recording on Sunday. But for me, this is a very good point. This is an encouraging point. That's the way I'm looking at it. I think the club is in for the fight. The players showed it today. That's what I took out of it. Max, quickly, what did you take out of it?
There's fight in this team. This team is resolute, and Ranieri can make a difference. I think that's what we saw today. This is a performance we honestly wouldn't have seen out of Savisa just because he's not the guy to play five at the back.
Yep.
And that's who he is, and we're not going to fault him for
not
that,
like
but that's
that.
Not what we needed. We need a guy who's going to come in here, and it wasn't pretty today. No one can say that was a pretty performance, but it was a clean sheet, and that's exactly what we required. So my main takeaway is this is a perfect start to the festive period. Fixtures are going to come thick and fast, and we, as long as we win our home matches, and make a good show of it, away at Arsenal.
Yep.
I think we'll be coming out here in 2019 with a lot more optimistic outlook than we have been.
Okay, finally, you, Giannis, main takeaway from this.
I'm glad I don't live in Newcastle.
Okay, that's an interesting main takeaway.
Yeah, it truly is. It truly is. 17 teeth between a lot of them. But it was. We've had a good record up at St James's Park over the years, and the thing that we wanted to see, and I thought we were a little unlucky last week against Wet Spam, just because at first half we had a chance of, you know, we had chances and we couldn't bury them, but in this one there was a lot of discipline, and that was good to see. It'll give the lads a lot of heart in that journey going south,
yep,
knowing that they've gone up there and they fought like absolute lions and they've given it everything they've got, and they've got a point that could have nicked three.
Yep.
So that's something to build off, and Claudio can get back, probably they'll do a Christmas Eve practice and they'll say, look, we can build off this now. We're sure we're capable of keeping a clean sheet. So it's all good.
This is the foundation for me. They've now established a foundation. Now you build off of it and you actually build your attack off of what you have done now defensively, because you can do this now. That to me is a huge first step. And now the players just have to put it together moving forward, and maybe we have something. And only time is going to tell. But listen, we got to wrap this up. For my co-host, Max Cohen and Yash Nance, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.